Hello. I don't know what to say. I'm really bad when it's like, say some stuff.
Yeah, okay. You're on the spot.
Anyway.
I'm sorry about that. But yeah, welcome to Ideas and Identity with J. Michael Hudson. You're the first guest.
Okay.
Now we can chat here. Oh man, all the technical stuff out of the way.
So what's up?
Well, like I said, I was recording some stuff earlier today.
Okay.
The question is more, oh, that's a no shoes place, so
Oh, okay.
you get to unlace, but no, you
Fair.
don't. Okay, way to be. Are those Doc Martens?
No, they're Timberlands.
Oh, that look like Doc Martens.
That's mostly the kind of shoes I wear. Shoes that look like Doc Martens but are not. Everybody thinks I wear boots, but that's because they never see my jeans.
They're uncomfortable, like all this ankle protection unless you're
Yeah, I don't
hiking.
need it.
Yeah.
I like shoes, but that look like boots. I don't know why.
Me too.
It's
Just
just.
see what I got over there. I
Yeah.
like multi-purpose. I don't like, one shoe for this, one shoe for that.
Yeah, I have two pairs of shoes that I wear. I don't have like sneakers or dress shoes. I have two pairs of shoes. I have a brown pair and a black pair. And that's all I need. It gets me through the week, you
So
know.
isn't that the so? Do you have in your mind like, say you had like, or just a helicopter came by and dropped you $10 million, and you could craft your life however you wanted to. If you were to give yourself a percentage score on like how close you are to like that ideal kind of setup, all the stuff you'd want, all the, what you would, where are you right now?
That's a very unfair question.
In what way?
Because I don't know. It's because I don't know what my ideal life looks like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Well, ballpark it. I mean, I'm not asking for like to like 8 decimal places, but are we in the 10%, 20, 30%, 40% range,
I don't know because I don't know what my ideal life looks like. Like I don't know what I would do after the helicopter dropped $10 million on me.
Well, then what is, okay, so the helicopter money thing, that's just, a thought experiment. But what, I mean, how do you define your success? What would be like suddenly the thing happens to you that
Okay,
you
well, I
really
mean,
wanted?
obviously, I like doing music. If I could do music and just make a living at it, I don't have to be rich and famous. I just like to the idea of like being able to pay my bills by writing and singing songs.
So that's the whole middle class notion then, that you don't have to be super successful, but you don't want to be like, completely, I don't use the word loser, but lose it everything in life, but you don't
Yeah.
really, you don't, your actual demands, request for success doesn't include like a mansion
No.
or yachts
I
or
don't know what I'd do with
mega
a mansion. A
concerts.
mansion would just be a whole hell of a lot to deal with, and I'm not equipped to deal with that sort of
So
thing.
you really don't want to stand on top of a truck in front of a concert audience of like 50,000 people at a stadium in like a major market.
Oh
That's not
yeah,
your
that'd be
type.
cool, but like I don't feel like I would need to make a lot of money at it. Like I would do it. Like I would do that for $30,000 a year.
Right.
I
Okay.
don't need to be a millionaire.
What's the so that's healthy, I think. Not to have this demand for, I don't know, the like people who have this type of, they want like the drive to like be at the top of
Yeah,
the
but
top of
it's
the
you
world, the king
also
of the heap.
you read about like how the musical like, you know, the middle class is disappearing. Well, that spills over into the music business too. There's all the people that are not good anywhere, and then there's the people who are really famous, and all the people in the middle are disappearing. Even though I'm not sure that's true, because most of the artists that I like are people that I feel like are in the middle, but they're still closer to that top end than the bottom end. So.
So like there's a so then who out there is currently right now as a musical artist at like the level, who do you admire at like the level of success? Well, who would you like to trade places with a little
Brandi
bit?
Carlile.
Brandi Carlile.
I love her. She's magical.
Yeah. But her whole career too, like how she
Yeah, I
tours,
mean, you
like.
know, she tours. She's a working musician. Like, she doesn't go and headline stadium shows, but she can go play at the Ryman, you know. She can go play a show with the symphony orchestra in a town. Like, I saw her in Nashville with the symphony orchestra, and it was great. You know, she can go play at Bonnaroo, but she doesn't play on the big stage. She plays on the second biggest stage. And that's cool too, you know. But she's not like a superstar.
She's not going to have $1 million, but she'll have like a
She
big,
may have $1 million. I don't know. I don't keep her books.
Well, I guess to us, like having just being able to have like $10,000 in your bank account, like at all, that would be a big deal. It'd be like, whoa, I'd feel like I'm much more stable than I am.
No,
because
that money, I've had $10,000 in my bank account and it disappears.
Yeah, yes it does. Right. But then you think, it's good that you're the first guest, because we have a lot in common in that regard.
Okay.
I also don't really have any ambitions for fame or to, I don't seek that type of, but I also feel like it's really difficult to promote yourself as this middle-class musician.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants you to say you're the greatest in the world all the time. And the same applies to comedy, writing, acting.
Yeah.
Across the board, like this.
Well, I'm the greatest in the world in my own mind.
Right.
I'm not necessarily proud of the fact that I think that. I don't think that. Mm-hmm. I know that's not true.
Well, in your mind, it has to be really important for you to perform and be an artist. Otherwise, it's like you're chopping off your arm or something like that if you're...
Yeah, for a long time it wasn't important. I just kind of gave up and didn't care about it for a while. And that's because the songs I was writing were not as good. When the songs started getting better, I started caring more.
I see.
Yeah. Hmm. It took a long time. I'm kind of a late bloomer as a songwriter. Like, I started writing when I was, 13, 14. And then I couldn't write good songs for the first 10 years or more, Some people can just write good songs right out of the gate, and I don't understand those people.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe because the music I listened to wasn't as good. I started listening to better music. I started making better music.
It's like finding your voice. Like, how long should it take? I'm a little suspicious of some 18-year-old who comes up to me and says they found their voice and they have...
That's crazy talk. There was a guy at the Arts Bar the other night, and I talked to him after he played a set. He was good. He was real good. Had a good guitar player with him and everything, and they sounded good. But I talked to him after. I was like, how old are you? And he said, I'm 18. And I was thinking in my mind, I was like, okay, this guy, he's good now. He's going to be really good if he sticks with it. But there were little things I noticed in his set. It's like, okay, this song has gone on for too long.
Because
you don't know enough. To end the song yet. When you learn how to end the song and make it not go on for 6 or 7 minutes with the same chorus or whatever, you're going to be a lot better. But I don't say that. You don't say that. You encourage them, and they'll get there on their own.
I don't want to always say there's these two words that have been kind of vexing me, but megaculture and super public.
Okay, I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
So I think that what Facebook represents and what something like a One Direction represents is a megaculture.
Okay.
The megaculture representative is Disney, what have you, or the big production companies and the big music agencies, whatever you even call them nowadays, the global conglomerates. It's so huge I can't fathom all of the inner gears of it.
Okay.
And what they're looking for, though, is a commodity
uh-huh.
in the form of a 17-year-old who a sex symbol.
Yeah.
And then they're going to kind of force feed what their voice and vision is down their gullet. And so they can prance around for 4 or 5 years making a lot of money and then kind of be discarded or, they'll break up. And then eventually you see billboards in Kansas City for the New Kids on the Block and they're all 45. And they're not the New Kids on the Block at all, in any sense of the phrase,
Well, they're still technically the New Kids on the Block. They're just not new or kids anymore.
Yeah.
But they're still the same guys.
The same,
And the 35-year-old women and stuff are going to go out and flock to them just the same.
Right. But the one kind of the ones that, the 35-year-old women who still have New Kids on the Block posters up in their house.
If they're still in the New Kids on the Block, then that's fine.
And they can...
I don't get it, but if that's what they're into...
I'm not going to go picket the New Kids on the Block
concert
or something like that. But I want to... I think that letting a system like that perpetuate itself without calling attention to it.
Okay. And
so it's I feel like I need to at least point out that there's this whole system that's trying to affect what is music and what isn't music.
Okay.
And people like us who have just this, I want to play some shows, I'd like to tour around, I'd like to be in a band, but I don't want to be on like the New Year's Eve concert in Madison Square Garden or whatever.
Oh, with Pitbull or whatever,
for instance. Or
yeah,
I don't even really know
who Pitbull is.
Rockin' New Year's Eve performer, with like Miley Cyrus fame type of thing.
Okay.
But then what we're looking for doesn't even exist in the industry.
There's no middle ground shrinking
or it hardly exists.
It hardly exists, but it does. I know people who do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I know people who, they go around, I know guys that tour people's houses.
Yeah, you told me about
and
that.
And they
before.
Do that, and they make a living at it.
Hmm.
They go and they play house shows all over the country, and that's all they do.
Hmm.
And that pays for them to record. And it pays their bills. I mean, obviously, they usually have spouses that also work, you know, mm-hmm. and have their own income. So it's not like they're out there making all their money. But they do fine.
Yeah.
You know, they're not starving.
Is that model of success attractive? I mean, is that...
Well, yes and no, because, yes, they're making a living doing music, but I don't think I'd want to be a guy that only ever plays in people's living rooms the rest of my life.
Right, that'd be a little, you know, I'd hem you in, definitely.
No, it's fine if that's what they want to do, and I don't knock it. It's cool, I've done it. I've played in people's living rooms, and it's a lot of fun. I just don't think I would want to only do that.
Yeah. Well, then, are you familiar with Sled Cleaves or Josh Ritter?
Oh, Josh Ritter's great. He's one of the best.
So is he, but he's like, yeah, he's not super famous.
Yeah, he's somebody whose career I'd like to have. I wish I was as good a writer as him. Maybe I would have his career.
Oh, yeah, that's what we work on. Like, but you are working on your album music, right? Like,
I've got something in the works right now. It's been delayed because of the holidays and because it's actually, I don't want to get into it.
You want to talk about your album on the podcast?
Well, I can talk about it, but it's not out. It's not finished yet.
Uh-huh.
There's not much to tell.
Well, I'm not going to...
It's an EP. Yeah. I mean, once it's out, people will know about
it. What, 5 or 6 songs or something?
It's
like
5
that?
Songs.
And you're wanting to submit it to, like, production company or, like, agent? I don't know. Like,
no, it's just for me to sell. It's for me to, like, you know, if I go play at a bar or something, like, hey, I have this CD. And then maybe, you know, sell some of that. That helps pay for the next CD, or it helps pay my bills.
But you're not looking to submit it to, like, labels to get signed or something like that?
No, it's not really for that. I mean, these days you don't need to get signed.
Okay. Yeah. So
if you can get enough people who are interested in your music, and you can deal directly with them online, you don't need a record company anymore. All you need is a website and Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a network of people who are into your music. That's all you need these days.
Did you kickstart for your recording? Or
not this one. I've done it before, though.
Uh-huh.
I've done it twice. I succeeded once and I failed once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does there... So that's like... So this is like the new kind of the... Ever since, I guess, Marc Maron's podcast where it was just like his garage, you know, and he was able to get his content, his podcast, talking just like you and I are. To an audience without any real middleman besides the like iTunes store or something like that. But if say you wanted to have, for instance, would you have your own website where you'd sell songs?
Yeah, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have all that stuff. I'm going to launch the website when the EP is done.
Oh, okay. So that's like a pretty big like debut.
I wouldn't say it's big, but it's something. It's like a new phase for me. Because like I lived in Nashville for 14 years and I never did make anything happen there. And then I moved, and now I'm like, okay, now I feel like I can actually make something happen. Because I'm not...
Why is that?
It does sound weird, but it's like, I'm not in... I'm in a smaller pond now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something uninspiring about being there, like, in line with all these other people that were just like you?
Yeah, a little bit. Because I never felt like I really fit in Nashville anyway. Like, I'm a little too...
Not even with that mustache, really? Like, I don't know, like... You got the southern thing going on, you're playing country. How do you not fit in Nashville?
Because I don't do Nashville sort of country.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, there's a noise.
I have critters in the attic over
here. Oh, really? What kind?
It's got to be raccoons or possums, but I can't because they're big. You heard that, though.
I heard it.
It's not just me. I'm not imagining things. So I keep reporting it to the landlord.
For the record, in case you didn't hear it on mic, it was a scratching sound coming from above our heads. And we're on the top floor of this apartment building. So
maybe that'd be some of the, that's the, kind of some of the more excitement of the podcast, is if, you know, there could be an attack of raccoons.
They did come through the vent up there.
No, it's, I don't think there's any way. I can't get
you
up
just
there.
Wait, if you just look up there and you see like the little, like, mask peeking,
yeah,
through,
ten glowing
little
eyes,
little fingers coming out. I love raccoons. Raccoons are great.
That's a horror podcast, you know, because we're all like huddled in the corner.
It's
with
a
like
horror
kitchen
podcast.
Knives being attacked by a bunch of, you know, like movies from the 80s, like Ghoulies or whatnot, where there's these tiny little.
What would this one be called? Because Critters is Taken,
right?
And I feel like you couldn't say, you couldn't call it Coons, because that's
no, you can't call anything like
that. You
no.
can't say that.
Well, it'd be a short. It's
let
not
the record
be...
show. I was referring. I was raccoons. Using the old timey word for raccoon. Not
just
any
become
sort
a little
of
bit
other thing
charged, as it were.
Yeah, but you couldn't call it that. You couldn't call it just raccoons, because that doesn't sound scary. You'd have to come up with like
just raccoons.
Yeah,
it's funny. We're just like raccoon invasion, or like for like a 70s movie, invasion of the raccoons.
Okay, see, I'm thinking more 80s, so it needs to be like a little short one
invasion
word
of the
title.
50-foot raccoon. Well, because what would happen for a short? It'd be funny, even if like we could trans. This is kind of the idea of the podcast, is that we can take this moment and turn it into whatever we want to. For instance, we could imagine...
We can spend the next 3 hours talking about raccoons for all I care.
We could shoot a short horror movie, and it would be like, I think they're, you know, but it would be, you'd have to, like, disappear into the vent, like, pulled by the raccoons. It wouldn't be like, you know...
Yeah, that seems like it would take some
We
planning.
Couldn't show the raccoon, because we don't have any...
We don't have any raccoons.
Get a bunch of towels and, like, you know...
I can paint my face.
Right. But it would sort of be one of those ones where it's like, what's in there? Where'd you go? And you're like, ah! And you hear like the sounds of the raccoon battle up in the vents where you're fighting them. I think I see one. And, oh no, they're all coming for me!
Yeah.
But it's not. It isn't trying to be raccoons. It turns out to be something else.
Oh, okay.
Something from their dimension, maybe like ghoulies. Or
but they just appear to be raccoons. Something maybe like that's the twist. Is that all raccoons are actually creatures from another dimension?
They have the masks. They take their masks
they've
off. They've
been
become the real.
They've
yeah.
been gently infiltrating our world for years. Right. Just digging
maybe
through our garbage
so,
and learning
so gently,
everything about us.
They're pretty. Could be. Yeah. They're just alien spies. It's kind of what I think spiders could be.
What?
You know, spiders are so weird. You know,
let's
there's
not
no
talk
other,
about spiders.
They have the eight eyes and whatnot. Oof. What if they are, like, they were sent here in some kind of pod to spy on us, and they transmit back to other planets?
If there was any creature on Earth that I would believe that about, it would be a spider.
See? Mm-hmm. There's some, that's credence to my theory right there.
Yeah.
That's all right, my theory.
But there's,
back.
Like, a whole bunch of competing spider planets. That's why there's so many different species of spiders.
Yeah.
They're all competing.
Let's hope they keep fighting each other then, and decide to all unify. Because they're not going to. I don't think the different spiders. They're not going to have like an army of spiders. They're like individuals and stuff. They're not going to really have fascism. I think they would be more like.
So spiders are anarchists.
More, I would say more like an evil mage in Lord of the Rings or something like that. They would all be want to be in their own ivory tower.
Okay,
webs
so
and kind of keep spread out because they don't trust each other.
Spiders are the arachnoid equivalent of Saruman.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, they all perceive themselves that way, even if their powers are weak.
I never thought about how a spider perceives itself.
Oh yeah, they're up there in the corner. They're the master. They're the master of the room. They're in charge of everything. They have a full scope of the situation. They see, well, they're way up there. They think they're better than us. I guess. But there, I've had that multiple times happen to me, though, where I've been in a room and like, is there somebody else here? And there's a spider in the corner. Like, wait a minute, what's up with you?
Uh-huh.
Your eyeballs. Not to say that they have some kind of spider scent, whatever. We're talking about music primarily, and we got distracted because
of raccoon, and then it turned into spiders and wizards. Okay.
My minor ceiling attic raccoon infestation. They could be possums, too. It's hard to say. All I know is they have fingernails, and they're big.
Well, opossums, they carry diseases, but they're not dangerous at all, because they're not going to attack you.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
Raccoons could. Well, any animal could get rabid.
Yeah, you know? but a possum is just going to, like, it's going to see you, and then it's going to wander away. Like, it doesn't want to be around you.
Yeah, right.
I used to, in my house in Nashville, I used to go out the backyard sometimes at night, and... A couple of times, I was, like, standing out in the yard, and the door is, you know, maybe 20, 30 feet behind me, and I turn around, and there's a possum, like, between me and the door.
Hmm.
And I'm not scared of them, but at the same time, it's just weird to turn around, and there's a wild animal right there, and then it just slinks away, and it's like, okay.
They're like armadillos.
Go live your life, possum.
They can't see more than 3 feet away, so I think they really can't.
No.
But let's go back to Nashville. I want to talk more about Nashville. Okay. More about Nashville. So you're there. You are there's Seth / Jackson. Like when you introduce people there at open mics, do you introduce yourself as Jackson? I assume.
Oh no, Jackson Harper was born here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were like Seth Harper the whole
no,
time. No,
I was. Well, yes. But I had a project called A Horse and His Boy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And if that's defunct, you erased all the SoundCloud and stuff like that?
Oh, it's out there.
Oh, okay.
It's still on iTunes and
it wasn't, stuff. It was a band? They had a full band?
It was an attempt at a band. It was like, okay, you know how Dave Grohl had Foo Fighters?
Yeah.
And
so you just kind of placed people in seats and told them
what to do. Yeah, and Justin Vernon had Bon Iver. You know, like, it's a band name for a solo act.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of thing.
I see. Well, so you had a backup band and sidemen and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
occasionally I would be able to convince somebody, you know.
That's like when I went to Los Angeles and I'd written all these screenplays, you know, and I thought, you know, people might be interested in reading them and they wouldn't. It's, well, who do you think you are? Oh, you've just come to Nashville and you want to be the leader of the band, or you want to be a director, or you want to be, you know, the host of the show, or something like that. And then, but I don't know, did you have, were there people there that you ran into that were, you felt like... you had conflicts with, or...
No, I had never had any, like... No, nothing like that. It was just... I don't know. I just couldn't navigate Nashville. It's a real... Like, it's a really cool city, but the music business is just so everywhere that you just... It's easy to get swallowed up. It doesn't matter if you're good or not. It's a matter of, like, are you good at networking?
So did you see people that succeeded?
Oh,
that?
Yeah. I mean, some. I honestly, a lot of the other artists that I knew they had the same problems I did. And a few of them were able to break through and carve their own path. Like the people I know that, you know, go around and play house shows and that sort of thing.
Well, that's kind of creating their own alternative sub-path. That exists, like, all over the place. It's like Gigmasters, it's a website. There's all kind of, like, if you do magic parties for shows, do comedy parties for shows... I'm sure you could. Like, well, it's kind of the Airbnb, Uber model. Now there's this website, and it acts as the marketplace nexus around which your career, but it's their website, and we ideally would like it to be around, like, our website, so we have some kind of control over it.
Yeah.
Well, there's people that went that way. Did you see anybody that actually got signed, or did, like, the official, like, route?
You know, I mean, people I knew not as well. You know, had more commercial success. I mean, I know a lot of people like in Christian music in Nashville, and that's a whole different world.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, why would you know people in Christian music?
From being a Christian?
Oh, you got church and stuff like that. I was aware. I assumed, like everyone, that you're a devil worshiper.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm a fairly religious person. I just don't go around like...
Well, good. No.
Like, rubbing it in people's faces, because that seems to be... In today's world, a good way to make people resent you.
Well,
and I don't want to be resented, but at the same time, if somebody asks me, I'm not going to lie about it.
Yeah, you know, yeah, no, like you just did. You know, you could have said, "Oh, me, church? Oh, no, I don't."
No, I mean, I still go to church.
Okay,
I go to church every Sunday. I do music at church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have guessed it.
It
doesn't mean anything. I wouldn't have guessed it. I'm not, you know, have some, you know, church sense. Although maybe I should. From my alma, the church I had to go to. But but you don't write, you know, Christian music.
I do.
Yeah, really?
I mean, not as much anymore, but that's what I did for a long time.
This is going to be your main thing? Like, is in praise music?
Well, no, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like worship music. It was music that had spiritual Christian themes to it, you know.
I just wonder what it would even look like. So say... I see parallels between your time in Nashville and my time in Los Angeles, where I can't even imagine what it would have looked like for me to, like, get up to the next step. I don't know who I would have even talked with, would have seen me exceed or do well at a show. All I saw basically there was a bunch of people saying, for $500, you can come to our showcase, you know, and maybe someone there might listen to you. It's a guy named Jeff. He worked once with, you know, somebody on Atlanta Housewives or something like that, and you're supposed to, you know, want to pay $500 to be seen by him or something. or all the companies, or all the like acting companies, or all the extra services, and but it all looked like bullshit to me. And the only people that I saw succeed were the ones that really did sign on to the mainstream model, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for it.
but compared to the number of people I saw there who are actually, I was impressed with as comedians. You know, just hundreds of people I thought I admired and thought were really good, and for that, only two are able to like go on to like be considered for television.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what it must be like in the comedy world. Like, I love comedy, but the comedy world must be really tough.
It's weird.
It's not like music. Because comedy, eventually, like music, you can listen to the same song hundreds of times and never get tired of it. Comedy tends to wear out. Mm. You have to always have new material. Mm. You don't have comedians going out on like and doing their greatest hits tours.
Actually, I kind of think they do.
I guess some of them do, but like
you'd be surprised.
That's like the very top. Those are the people that have been around forever. You know, like somebody like Sinbad or something like that. That's a weird one to bring out. I could have brought up Bill Cosby. I've seen Bill Cosby live twice.
Hmm.
And it's sad that what was revealed about his character as a person much later.
Yeah.
You know, I feel horrible that all that stuff had to happen.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for him. I feel bad for, you know, his victims.
It's really weird though, because you
and I feel bad, like and I feel bad for his fans, of which I am one, because the man is really funny, and I've seen him live twice. But even then, like, I saw him live twice, and he did one routine. He did his dentist routine, you know, that's real old, you know, from the 70s or whatever. Yeah.
Himself.
But and he closed with that. But everything else was material I'd never heard before.
He did the whole mouth numb thing and like the dentist.
Yeah,
pulls
he did
the
that whole
hook.
Thing. Yeah, but that was at the very end of the show.
Oh.
He did that as like his closing piece.
Yeah.
But everything leading up to that was material I'd never heard. So he was still really funny. But he didn't have to bring out all his greatest. He didn't have to go up there and do the Noah thing or do, you know, talk about Buck or.
And that was we used to
Fat
all those tapes.
Or
you know, that was my childhood.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Now it turns out, you know, it's really
I can still laugh
difficult.
At his comedy because his comedy to me is just art, and I can separate the art from the artist. You know, I still think his comedy is very funny, even if I now realize, oh, the whole time he was
doesn't that illustrate
getting away with some very awful things.
Doesn't that illustrate, like, maybe an issue with the model? So say you do get to be, like, this megastar success, like Bill Cosby success. It gives you so much freedom and so much money that you have this huge power where you, to the extent that you could actually sexually assault 50 people before.
Is it 50 now? I don't even know what the number is.
30, anymore. 40, 50.
Oh, goodness.
You know, it's like that many accusations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for even if half of those accusations are people just chasing money because they may want to make something up, which I don't think is true. You know, it's still, you know, but it means, which is one of my biggest concerns about the type of society we have, where we have all these really very few really wealthy people, and then this huge mass of struggling people, is it gives the wealthy people so much power that they can actually sexually assault a number of people, and
well, that's
before anyone even believes
it. That's the story of human civilization.
The same we get to
go read about like the popes and the Roman emperors and like every king that has ever lived. That's what we do. We endow a small group of people with a lot of power, and then they get to kind of run stuff and do whatever they want and get away with anything.
So
I think it's maybe that model because of the internet is it. Information gets out a lot faster now, so now we all know if somebody does something like that, you know. If Twitter had been around in Bill Cosby's heyday, maybe he would have been stopped a lot sooner.
Well, it's 2015, you know, the internet websites have been around since the late 90s, you know, it's... And
yeah,
the
but not in the same way. Not in the same way. You don't have, like, in the late 90s, you didn't have Twitter. You didn't have social media the way it is now, where Like, I can log online right now, and I know, like, so many things that are going on in the world. All in one place. Because it's all on the side of my Facebook page. It's like, oh, here are the big, here's what's trending.
Yeah.
So, you know, as soon as Bill Cosby starts trending, I get to know about it. So you didn't have that, even in the late 90s, you know, with the internet. You had to go to a whole bunch of different websites and read up on stuff. It wasn't as fast.
Well, the accusations were all out there since the
2005.
But for whatever
you didn't
reason...
You didn't have these people, like, gathering them and putting them all in one place.
Twitter changed things, didn't it? Because the fact that people can kind of... There's an element of maybe mob justice or something. Like, you can't... If 10 people accuse the same person of rape, then they all meet each other on Twitter.
Yeah, and then
they'll
be
a lawsuit.
And then there's a hashtag about it.
Yeah.
The next few days.
I wonder. But that's the type of, I mean, the type of fame that Bill Cosby has, to be like a NBC star, that type of exposure.
Yeah.
I mean, and then that type of power, who knows what it would do to me? Who knows what, and then the constant, you know, how am I being perceived? Like all, like living your life so much in this public image, who responded to my tweet today? Oh, Katy Perry wants to start an argument. That doesn't seem to me to, like, contribute to happiness. Or to, like, what's a good life? Which is to say, as a lot of people have said, I guess, that fame doesn't serve the famous.
No, it doesn't.
Which is smart, then, for, I guess, you and I to have, like, these moderate, medium goals. Or, like, to be, which some might say, but then consider what some might others say, then, that we're, like, you know, content with mediocrity.
Uh-huh.
Or that we're, not the real deal. We're just hobbyists. You know, we're not...
No, that's
in it
not
to
true.
Win it, we're not. This isn't our A plan, you know. We've got to. We're kind of. If we were to go to the big markets like New York and LA, people would say, "Get out of our way. We don't need anybody here," you know, who's not. And in LA, with acting and comedy, it is like that. You know, people who are, they consider themselves grinding, so they're going to all these events that, you know, are just to be seen, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And if they see someone there who isn't playing that game, then they think that you're not really committed. And so they'll badmouth you or not, you know.
Well, if it's people like that are going to badmouth you for not playing the game, then I don't want to be associated with those people.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be associated with people who are cool about stuff.
Yeah. And who are, I guess, like, have, you know, accept a wide range of career and lifestyle options. Like, we're, you know, with comedy, especially, I guess maybe to some extent with acting, people just think you're not really a comedian. You're not really an actor,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you aren't committed enough to it or whatever. With musicians, which is why I like open mics, musical open mics generally a lot more, is because that no one's like, you're not really, even like the worst guy that gets up and plays the guitar, and we're not going to
be
like...
Oh yeah, we saw that guy.
We're not going to be
we're not naming names. I don't even remember his name, but man, he was bad.
We're not going to, you know, get into some kind of one-upmanship, gamesmanship thing with him, you know, he's in our way, he's got to, or somebody who's better than us, we're not going to be like, how can I edge
my way
around? Oh
no, people that are better than me, I'm always in awe of them. Like, I want to be their friend.
With music, I think that's a lot more, we don't be a sycophant either, you know, like, where is it?
I can be
if
a
I
little
could just
bit of
get
a
on their coattails, you know, like, yes, then everything will work out. All I have to do is just...
It's not even that, like, I just want to, I'm always looking for people who are like kindred spirits. And if somebody gets up there and sings some songs and there's something in those songs that I really respond to strongly and I can tell that they've put a certain amount or type of thought into it, like, those people, I want to know those people because they're interesting to me as people.
Yeah.
Because I really love artists. I don't love all artists because I don't love all art. But if somebody makes art that I like, I want to get to know them because I feel like there's like an immediate bond that they don't know about, but I've heard you sing. So I know there's a bond between us.
Yeah.
You just have to figure that out on your own.
Well, then that's...
And sometimes they never do, and it's sad.
That's defining the opposite model, then. So we don't want to be famous and have this bizarro relation where I'm this super famous person and you're like a scrub. Instead, we have, like, we're all artists, and I'm going to gravitate towards people who,
yeah,
who you can't really define this, these criteria. Mm-hmm. What, but I know what you're saying. Like, even if I'm not going to listen, there's very little music I'm going to have playing in the background in my apartment while I'm trying to get stuff done.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of music that I'll hear someone else playing. I'll be like, you know, they're committing this all the way. They're putting themselves mm-hmm. all the way out there, and I have a lot of respect for it. Like, well, even the music I didn't technically enjoy last night at the open mic, I accept it, and I also see how much guts it took them to do that, and how much preparation it took. So I guess it's like preparation. And
yeah, I try to see it that way, but there, I also reach a point where I'm just like, oh man, stop, please stop, please stop, please stop.
That's the beautiful open mic. It'll always be over pretty soon, you know. Like
it didn't feel like it last night.
Yeah, a 7-minute song.
Was it 7? I couldn't tell how long it was. It just
he's gonna do another one, and Prim was like, no.
Kid got to do another one though.
Yeah.
But the thing is he prefaced it, and I don't want to like just spend a whole lot of time trash talking this guy. But he prefaced it with this long explanation of the story behind the song,
and the song made no sense. It was incomprehensible.
It had a good title. I won't say it because I don't want to give away who it was.
That's funny.
The song had a good title, but eventually he was just explaining it, and I was like, okay, let's hear the song. And then he started playing the song, and I just wanted to crawl into a hole and die. Oh man,
there's
then
like
he played another song.
No other occupations besides musicians and comedians and poets has this open mic thing. I think that's noteworthy. That there's
not a film open mic out there. It's
motorcycle,
like, hey, come show your short film.
So you're a motorcycle racer. And you want to, okay, you can go out to the track and just kind of drive around in circles.
Yeah.
That's fine. I guess maybe for a lot of stuff that's like sports, or you can be in an amateur softball team, what have you. But as far as, there's just something about the open mic at bars thing between poets, musicians, and comedians.
Yeah.
That means that it's like if you have modest goals, or mm-hmm. even if you have great goals, there's very few places in our society where you can actually go and work on them.
Yeah,
you're not
going
to get the performance experience, like the being able to work with a sound system, get feedback from other people. It just doesn't exist. We have to make that space for ourselves.
Uh-huh.
But while we're getting better and uh-huh. doing this stuff like in co-ed, like we're unformed, we're just like refining our voice, the unmasking ourselves, chiseling the parts away that aren't. The core element of our vision. Well, while we're in that spot, it just seems like there's a whirlwind of us hurting each other
mm-hmm.
going on. More places, some places other than others, as well as like there's this sorting that we maybe you and I both are giving into it by criticizing this guy at all, but where we are policing our own numbers.
Yeah,
like we're like these low-level guards in the prison that are keeping other people from pursuing their dreams. It's one of my fears that I might ever be that. Where
mm-hmm.
I'm
not policing it. I'm just saying I thought it was really bad.
Right. So you'll see that, and that's where he's at that
but
day.
But I'm not going to discourage him. I'm not going to say anything to him that it will discourage him.
It right. Yeah, that's really, that's kind of...
Because that would be cruel,
right.
And I don't have any place doing that. But I can criticize his art, because way I can criticize any art.
10 years from now, he could be making the song that you fall in love with. It could happen.
He would have to change a lot about what he does.
But we can't decide that. We can't see the future.
Can't.
And we're not...
It's not my place to say. I'm just saying that, like... Yeah, but you can criticize any art. Anything that anybody puts out there to perform for you, mm-hmm. like it's fair game.
Yeah, you can talk about it.
I can criticize it. I'm not like eavesdropping on this kid in his room while he's writing songs. He came up and performed.
Yeah.
I thought he was really bad. And I don't mind saying it, but like I said, I'm not going to embarrass him. I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to describe him in any way.
But we
both heard him.
But we're competing for the same stage time. So people who
no, because I'd already been up there. I'd already had my stage time. I get there early and play early.
Right. But generally, over the course of this year, the more musicians that go there, you know, well, if it's a good open mic because we don't have to really worry about that. In L.A. and probably in Nashville, too, there were a lot of situations where if you're not there by 8:30,
to
wait for 2 hours before the show, you're not going to make it on the list. And that you know, amps up this pressure then to, I guess, whittle the field down a little bit, narrow the field of competition down.
But that's part of what it is. I mean, yes, the open mic, in theory, is open. But at the same time, there is a little bit of whittling the field down that's going to be involved. That happens at any level.
Yeah. Well, people make you want people to make the decisions themselves.
I don't mind.
Be all this, like, dickish.
You don't have to be a dick about it. But there is a certain level of competition, even at an open mic.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to get up there, and I want to be as good as I can, and hopefully be better than some of the other people.
Right. Well, how important, though, is it to have that comparison be made? I mean,
oh, it's not important to have the comparison be made, but, you know, if I go up there and I stand out in some way, you know, somebody's going to remember my name.
Yeah.
And then maybe they will continue to support my music, even though they're not really supporting it yet. But maybe they will when, you know, like if my EP comes out and they find out about it, they'll be like, oh, I liked him when I heard him at open mic. You have to stand out in a certain way. That's what open mic is for. It's like a proving ground almost.
Yeah, that is what it, I get that, that in,
it's democratic, but at the same time, so is, okay, I don't know how I was going to finish that sentence. Anyway, you continue with your thought.
Well, in any situation where there's like multiple people involved and you're trying to all accomplish things, you can either cooperate with other people or you can compete against them. And I just don't find, when it comes to art, competition to be helpful.
Well, okay. Maybe competition's a bad word. But I think it's the right word. I don't mean it in the sense that I'm trying to elevate myself by keeping you down. Mm. It's not like that. I'm really competing against myself. Mm. I'm trying to be the best I can be.
Yeah, so that's the type of attitude, I think.
You also hope to be the best one.
You hope, yes.
Yeah.
Does that really make it sweeter? Does that really make the how good you are better if you know that you're the best? And then, who in the world right now is the best? Is it Sting or?
Well, there's no such thing.
Like what? Yeah. So then the entire idea of being the best.
It's not about being the best. It's about, okay, I want to do something that people will remember.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, I heard this guy at open mic the other night, and he was really good. And I want to remember my name and remember what I look like. And that's the thing, is that, you know, and then I'll see somebody the next week and be like, oh, I heard your set a couple weeks ago.
Being unique. It's not like someone says, you know, I heard this one musician at the open mic last week and he just blew all the other musicians out of the water. Like, they're two totally different attitudes.
Yeah, no, it's not two different attitudes. It's two sides of the same attitude. If you're the one that they liked the best, that will help them remember you.
Yeah. Well, if they like,
I'm not saying I don't want them to like the other people.
Right. Okay.
I'm just being honest here, though.
It's like it's a little bit like this brain surgery, where because there's being when you want to be good, there's all these aspects to your goodness. You know, like that you sounded good, that you were original, that you were unique, and then you stood out among the crowd, and then you want to maybe we want to tack on, you know, that we are a little bit better than, but. I want to be good at what I do,
and the only way I know I'm good at what I do is if other people validate that, because that's the kind of thing I'm doing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like I'm not doing anything objective. Okay, say, let's use archery as an example. Right. You can measure who is the best archer in the world. Mm-hmm. It's the person who hits the center of the target the most time with the most consistency.
Yeah.
You can't measure who's the best songwriter in a room.
No.
Because it's all subjective. So the only way I can measure something like that is feedback. And so I like feedback.
Yeah.
Because I'm an artist. Of course I want feedback.
Yeah, right.
It's that artistic ego that we all kind of have.
where we want to see ourselves as the
exactly some kind of. And I don't think it's I don't think it's completely bad or unhealthy to have that. You just have to moderate it with other things. You have to, you know, find a way to stay humble. And my strategy tends to be self-deprecation. That's maybe not the best strategy, and I don't recommend it, but
can do worse.
It's sort of the only tool in my chest right now.
So then, if, like, pull it, a couple of things together,
okay,
then we've got, if we have, you know, if we were to, not really into the fame thing, and we're looking for this relatively moderate model of success, and if we're trying to also create like a system where the people who are at the open mics and the people who are have these have moderate goals like ourselves aren't beat up on as much, and we don't have to like listen to as much Miley Cyrus crap in People magazine. So we're actually trying to change the system quite a bit, which is to bring the highs down a little bit and bring the mids up a little bit. And so it is kind of the Bernie Sanders idea or the socialist idea that if we just didn't have these people who were like super, you know, super famous or mega wealthy or whatever, and they were just wealthy and famous instead, and then that would open up all this other stuff and this space in our culture for the people who are getting better at what they're doing, and then in the end result would be that we have a larger number of better artists, as opposed to a few really great artists that everybody loves who actually are kind of a little mediocre, like Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Or that they're hyped up so much that, you know, we really can't tell, what have you. But I guess the... how, then, what can we do in Kansas City, or wherever we're going to be, to be building this alternative? Or what can... what type of ideas and what type of things besides the open mic itself help us accomplish that goal or build this alternative system, build this system that's going to replace
the... Oh, I have no idea. You're asking the wrong person about that. That's like an economic kind of thing.
Well,
my only thing that I want to do is, like, I want to be the best I can be at what I'm doing, and this is kind of going against what I was saying about competing, because I'm not really competing. That's just a word that I use to describe. But, like, if I'm doing the best I can do, maybe that will inspire somebody else to do what they're doing better. You know, the way other artists inspire me, it's like I hear somebody that I really love and I really admire what they do, and it makes me want to get better. And so, why can't I be that for somebody else? It's like, I want to write better songs. I want to be a better performer. And part of that is my own ego. And part of that is, honestly, it's like, okay, maybe if I get better, other people will also get better. Because art is still a community, and you have to sort of elevate each other.
Yeah. Well, that's already a good idea. Even if you don't have, like, we will create this organization.
Yeah, every Thursday, I don't think in those terms. You know,
it's an attitude. Just an attitude to have.
Yeah, it's just an attitude. It's
not,
like, you know,
keeping the other people down.
No.
And trying to be a source for inspiration. Then
yeah, I mean, that's a byproduct. Mostly, I just want to be better myself. But I really, when I see another artist that I can tell this person's really good at what they're doing, or that they're getting better or whatever, I love that.
Okay.
I love other artists. I really do.
Maybe this is, like, so the goal of the podcast is, after we have a long, far-reaching discussion, like we've had Raccoons, Nashville, Los Angeles, comedy, Bill Cosby... you know, the whole thing going on here is that we sit here and then think, what could we do in the next hour or so? What could we create that would, in some way or another, be a positive contribution to the world? It could be a song, it could be a short film, it could be a graphic, it could be...
Okay.
So, but this, what you're saying right there, when I asked you the big question of what can we do to make the contribution to change the system to not be so stupid, you know, you're like, you wanted to be some kind of beacon... Or
that's not a beacon.
You wanted to be an inspiration to other people.
Yeah,
I want to be
for maybe other people what other people are for me.
Even, like, the guy last night, he was struggling pretty seriously.
Okay,
if he sees you, you wanted to be like, you know, like, how he sings. I want to do it more like that. I don't want it to be quite as breathy and.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if whatever helps him. Whatever helps him. I hope he gets better. I really do.
I hope you get better. I really do. What if we wrote a song like that, where it was like, I hope you're having all these problems, your stuff isn't together, your performance wasn't good, but you know, I'm not going to stomp on you. I'm going to... Do you think we could write that song?
Oh, I don't know. That seems a little touchy-feely for me.
That little touchy-feely. Well, this isn't going to be on your album. It's going to be a kind of... It'll be a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It'll be tough that anything we create here, it's not going to be like...
Well, we'll figure something out.
Whoa, it's the best song of the year. But it would be... It might be really funny. I think it would be funny to write a song like, I'm Seth Harper, I think you suck, but... No, your performance was subpar, but I'm not going to hurt your feelings.
Okay.
Yeah? Let's write that. Okay.
Oh, goodness.
And in order to do... Yeah, and then we're going to record it. It'll take an hour or so, I think. Okay. All right, but we'll stop this for now. All right. And then I'll test it and see if we actually recorded this.